to the things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love.
Welcome back to segment two of the Liberal Patriot Podcast. Today is November 30th.
Still the 30th. Unbelievable.
Speaking of the big CIA. A little news item that I haven't read that much about today, but it's kind of interesting. Just came over the wire. There was a woman who was riding back to and forth to work on a public bus. And several times during her trips, the bus was stopped and people boarded the bus, like federal agents or police, and checked everyone's ID.
Get out!
And she kind of read up on the laws regarding this and, you know, got her facts straight and everything. And so one day when it happened, she refused to show her ID. They took her, arrested her. They took her to the police station and held her there for 3 hours.
Is this the United States of America or am right. I just...
And she has a lawyer and she's taken it to court because...
Good for her.
According to the law, she is completely within her rights to not show ID. She refused to show ID at the police station.
See, this is the case the ACLU needs to make some good
points. And, there is a lawyer taking her case, and the Justice Department or whoever is prosecuting this is trying to decide whether or not to take it to court. I'm sure they'll decide not to, but she is actually a mother of three children, one who's 21 years old and is serving in Iraq right now.
Well, good for her. Take it all the way.
So,
you know, this is, you know, the Real ID Act coming up that Bass,
exactly.
that your Charlie Bass, District 2 Charlie Bass, and Bradley, matter
not
fact.
My Charlie Bass.
Yeah, no, he ain't my Bass.
I mean, yeah.
But he was instrumental in pushing this through, but... there's pieces of the Patriot Act, pieces of the Real ID Act. It's all tied together, the Homeland Security gaffe. You know, you got to walk down the streets of the United States of America and show your ID to some buckethead that walks up to you and says, I'm in the, I don't know, the secret police of America. What is that shit? What happened to the, you know, freedom and democracy? And
if this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so easier.
I just love
so long as I'm
laugh.
The dictator.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Republicans are supposed to be on all this freedom and civil liberties and all this other kind of thing when they've done nothing but consolidate their power and make and increase their power, consolidate it right up to the top, and are making things more difficult for the regular citizen.
Well, if you're living up here in the North Country and perhaps you, you know, go up to Canada every now and again, and you get stopped at the Border Patrol, well, how can you even be sure that the people who ask for your ID are really Border Patrol
well,
people?
Well, that's it. And then now you need a passport to get back and forth to Canada. But who makes the Canadian Border Patrol uniforms?
Well,
do you know, by the way?
There's a little news item that came up via the Air America radio homepage.
We're getting too good with these connections.
It's basically after Espresso 13, everything smells.
Oh, my God, my nose is
everything. Flows smoothly.
Smells fluidly.
Smells, yeah. And I'm not talking about my words at that point.
There you go. Everything flows smoothly.
It's, we have no blockage after the...
Oh, you're just plain nasty. Stop that. You're nasty.
Here's what we got from www.airamericaradio.com. Agents and lawmakers are concerned because the...
Yes, indeed.
Shouldn't they know about this? But they're concerned because the uniforms for agents, Border Patrol agents, charged with combating illegal immigration were made in Mexico.
Mexico.
Congressman John Carter of Round Rock, Texas, says he thinks the uniforms could easily be used by terrorists to enter the country.
You think?
Customs officials say strict security measures are in place, including on-site inspections at the Mexican plant.
Well, Iraqi insurgents figured that out a long time ago, that they could get uniforms from the Iraqi police and the Iraqi military.
Yeah.
And, well, kill the guy wearing it first and then take his uniform. But there's something interesting about, I think it was a year or two ago, the United States Army bought or prepared to buy berets, black berets, from a company that is in China. They were made in China, the United
Great.
States Army
really?
Uniform. So they raised a big stink about this, and now I think they bought them from a company in Tennessee.
Let's show these freaks what a bloated, runaway military budget can do.
That's right. You show them. You show them, big man.
And this is just ridiculous, because, okay, if globalization and the so-called free market has to happen, if it is okay for American companies to move their headquarters overseas to avoid paying taxes. If according to the Republicans, this is okay. I disagree, but if according to them it's okay, at least our federal government, with our own American tax dollars, can insist that the uniforms they buy, the cars they drive.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Can our state troopers drive only American cars? I believe they do.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point.
I believe they drive
like
a Chrysler, some kind of Chrysler.
Well, Crown Vicks, and they're pretty nice rides. I know the Crown Vicks, and I think Chrysler has one of their top end vehicles. I can't, off for the life of me, remember what it is.
Well, put it this way: when I go into a public school in the North Country, it's what, Georgia Pacific? Is that the paper company that's in Groveton or
Weyerhaeuser? No, there's Groveton Paperboard.
It's Groveton Paper.
Yep. And then there's also the, it's not Weyerhaeuser. What the hell is it?
I'm not really sure. But I do know that when we were in Maine and I would go into my wife's school and you'd see stacks of copy paper, it was from the local paper company.
Yeah.
And they paid for it. They didn't, you know, it wasn't like donated for free. They paid for it.
Right.
And it just makes sense. You know, if a lot of people in your community are working at the paper mill.
Wausau.
That's what you go into Stratford Public School and you go and see their piles of copying paper. It's Wausau paper.
You talk about buy local. Buy local, man.
Right. And so why when our state government or federal government decides to purchase something.
Completely baffles the mind.
They should be purchasing those products from American companies.
Well, George W. Bush, your president, anybody that listens to and this was reported on the podcast, and actually it's on my issues papers for my running for state senate and district one here as an independent. George W. Bush recently signed, I think in March, that 16 more nations.
You're running for political office?
Well, that'd be me running for political office, yes. I don't know if I ever... Willing for the people. He actually signed...
You're running unopposed, right? Or
I'm running unopposed as an independent.
Is there anyone running against you?
I think the right-handed John Gallus, Senator John Gallus.
He's running for office?
He's pretty scary. He's walking for office is basically what he's doing.
I thought he was corrupt and evil. I didn't realize
But
that's a free country.
It's free. Corruption is corruption. I think is part of the they don't have a monopoly on corruption, and that's certainly free enterprise. But George Bush, our president, your president, the beloved president. I know. We got to get this crowd under control. He signed legislation
respect the office, if not the man. Come on,
that's right. Definitely not the man.
Sorry, derail. Go ahead.
Definitely not the man. He signed legislation allowing 16, and this was just this year in March. 16 other countries around the world. Some of these countries, that kind of shade towards the anti-American flavor. Anyway, he signs legislation that allows for 16 other countries to do American DOD military projects. And China, of all countries, is buying a bunch of Boeing aircraft. The thing with China is, and some of these other countries, they require the technology to be placed in that country, too.
Right.
So not only are they getting the planes or this certain defense contract, but we're also exporting that technology too.
Because
that was all taxpayer funded R&D and
because when these defense contractors want to outsource these jobs so that Americans are not able to be employed, when Lockheed Martin or some of these companies decide that it's cheaper to make missiles, cruise missiles, airplanes, whatever, they can't just say make all these parts and assemble them, and then it'll work, and we won't. You know, I mean, somebody in those plants has to know. And the thing about it is, with what we talked about at the very beginning about these uniforms made in Mexico, terrorists don't need to hold someone hostage or sneak into the plant or apply for a job. All they have to do is go to one of these Mexican workers who's paid $12 a day or some shit, say, here's $300. I'll give you another $300 when you bring me a uniform. A
couple of uniforms, yeah, that's it.
You know?
And one problem that they were having with these the United States Department of Defense military equipment is British pilots and American pilots were actually having problems identifying from far distances, identifying whether it was an enemy on their radar or whether it was a friendly. And they actually have accidents, of course, that aren't publicized, but they actually have documented accidents, friendly fire issues. These pilots were unclear whether it was an enemy or a friendly, and they were firing missiles up these guys' wazoos there and shooting them down.
Yeah.
So this is part of the problem of outsourcing American technology.
Yeah,
I'm all for growing the world, but you know, this something as critical as American military, you figure these guys would want it homegrown and would want to keep it here.
A lot of idiots spout off ideas like myself that they don't really understand.
I don't know if you're an idiot, John.
You don't know if I have any ideas.
I don't know. Well, that too. But, any good ones, anyway? I mean, but
sometimes your wealth of ignorance.
But one other thing about these right wing nuts who parrot stuff that people more intelligent than them say, or maybe not.
Not too hard to find.
One of the issues is that they spout off about this: let the market decide. Let the market decide.
Yeah, let the market drive. Yeah.
Anyone with half a brain and at least one eyeball can see that all the market wants is
cheaper stuff,
cheaper cost, lower paid workers, cheaper cost of production, and higher profit. That's what the market's going to decide. And that means that if you have a defense contractor who's making, you know, I mean, we the American people have paid Brazilians of dollars for them to do research in this technology.
The bloated R&D budgets alone
are insane.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
But we pay all this money for these planes that are invisible and planes that can fly straight up but can't land, or planes that are supposed to be able to shoot a missile 5 inches further than the last plane could shoot a missile. But we pay for all this. And then what the market decides is it's a good idea to take this technology that we've spent money that could have gone to educating children and ensuring that America is stronger and more intelligent than any nation in the world.
We give it to the lowest bidder.
We give it to these companies. They do this research, and then all this stuff that we've paid so much for, they say, you know what? We'll save a few bucks if we have the Chinese make it. So, well, we'll just send it over there. Hopefully they won't spread this information around.
Well, the corporate written legislation is, and we all know that there probably isn't there's very few. You can probably count them on one hand on the federal level, politicians on the federal level. They're in the back pockets of these corporations. The corporations say, write their legislation to allow them to do work overseas. So right off the bat, they're saying, oh, the more money is coming into the United States because it's, you know, the free world trade thing, which is crap. The money might be coming into the United States, but it's coming in at the highest level so when you outsource the IT, which, you know, information technology and all these service jobs to China, to India, to these other countries, that's another job that's gone, never to be seen again in this country. Right. So, I mean, just the military contracts alone, completely ludicrous, and their technology alone, to send it overseas to say that the company, this American company, whose bank is in Cancun, or main offices in Cancun, or wherever it might be, to say that that's bringing more jobs into this country is absolutely
right.
It's totally misleading.
There's money flowing back into the country, but what is happening is that the wealthiest Americans, the Americans that make well over $1 million or $2 million a year in income alone, are pulling down more money than they've ever made before. You know, but what's happening is that thousands of Americans who could have been making a living wage or a wage or be employed, they're going from, as you can see in any town that has a steel mill, a paper mill, or whatever, these people that used to be making jobs that had health care and had $15 to $20 an hour are now making $5 an hour jobs.
Yeah.
Or ooh, those so great jobs at Walmart making $8 an hour. We need another Walmart because what's happened is
it's on the way in Woodsville.
Thanks to the Republican Party and corporate interests, the jobs at the mill that our parents used to have are gone.
Yep.
So now we're fighting each other over these $8 an hour jobs. And then yet you have people like John Gallus and other extremely wealthy people who sit back
independently wealthy
and let the money roll in off their real estate interests, their stock interests, and they love it.
The largest demographic in the state of New Hampshire is the least represented down in Concord. Matter of fact, it was on DFNH. I think it was posted on theliberalpatriot.blogspot.com.
Right.
The largest demographic.
A little bit of a right-wing blog, but still good.
Yeah, these guys, they're so far to the right, it's pathetic. But they're the largest demographic in this state is the least represented down in Congdon.
Right.
And that's, you know, you want to look at...
Independently wealthy, the older white men.
Yep. The Peter Burlings, the Lou Delisandros, the Ted Gatzes, the Tom Eatons, the John Gallises, and the list goes on and on and on, the money-loving... the money trail.
You would need three promotions to get to be an asshole.
Yeah, that's it. But the money loving.
But basically, those people.
Corporate guys. All corporate guys.
Yeah.
And if they're down there, it doesn't matter whether they're in their office or they're down in Concord having their little powwows together.
I believe there was a post on the Liberal Patriot blogspot. Liberal Patriot blog by someone named W.J. Cowie.
That'll be me.
That there was a good post about an article that was written in the Union Leader that talked about.
Right.
They softballed it a little bit, but they talked about the fact that, yes, New Hampshire has a larger representational government.
The third largest legislative body in the world.
The largest state legislature,
yep, in the world.
Largest government, and the third largest in the world. But they said it is one of the most unrepresentative of the demographic of the population.
Right.
So for those of you who are right-wingers who are listening, let me explain that to you.
Yeah.
What that means is that
50% of them that are over 60 and that are like, say, a Bill Remick,
right?
Who has totally no clue about democracy.
We have a representative for a smaller group of people. I believe we have one rep for every 3,100,
approximately, and one senator for about 52,000.
52,000. But what the issue is that since the amount that our politicians have been paid has not risen since 1800s,
1700s,
around the 1800s. Then what happens is that, let's say, a homemaker, a mother,
yep,
who would like to run for political office, has some ideas, wants to represent her community, can't afford to do it,
yep,
because she lives in the North Country, so she's going to have to drive 3 days a week, 4 hours of driving.
I think that example they put in there for the highest paid in Berlin, I think that was Bernie Buzzel.
Really?
He got 10,000. And Bernie, let me tell you, he's a righty killer. Go after him, Bernie.
But what the issue is that for going 3 days a week from January to June, if you live in the North Country, driving 2 or more hours to go down to Concord, you're going to get for your time
one way
$100 a year.
Right, $100 a year.
And the other issue. So who can do that? Who can afford to do that? Well, first of all, you better be retired.
Well, and second of all, if you're a state senator from District 1, you not only get that money driving down there, but you also get being in a position like that. You get to find out what contracts are being, what taxpayer-subsidized contracts for, like, say, the USDA for their properties. You get the first bid on those, and your home office gets to do those contracts.
Right.
So that, I mean, me personally, I think it's not only... you might call it legal, but it's definitely wrong.
Well,
and me would absolutely not do something like that. That's ridiculous.
Well, the thing about it is that if you can find a way to get some money out of it,
oh yeah,
that's the only money to be had, because otherwise it's going to cost you more money to go there, to show up,
right,
than you're going to get back from the state. And so what the issue is even though they say, you know, we have such a large representational government, the people are having their voices heard. No, the people are not, because the people who step up, and if you go around and ask people, would you like to run for state rep? Would you like to run for state rep?
Are you out of your mind?
Hey, if I run for selectman of a town the size of
Stark, 520 people.
And
$1,600 a year.
And who knows how many actually vote.
Last term it was there's 379 registered voters, 356 of them voted.
You're in a small town, and maybe even a smaller town where you get 150 votes.
Right.
Okay. You get 151 votes. You could end up making 1,000 or so a year, as a selectman. But if you get several thousand votes and get voted in as a state rep, and you're voting on state laws.
Yep.
You could lose several thousand dollars a year just in transportation costs.
But part of this is, if you look at the demographics of the state representatives,
right,
and the state senators that are down there, the overwhelming majority are retired.
Right.
Are from the real estate.
Real estate.
And insurance.
Right.
And you take someone like Bill Remick, who is totally anti-democracy because he's a right-wing nut who thinks he's just, oh, that the power should stay with him.
He's more interested in impressing
in real
his friends.
He's into real estate, too. He works, matter of fact, for Sally Pratt, who, Leighton Pratt,
was an old righty nut.
Was an old right-wing nut who stayed down there for, I think, since Franklin Pierce was a junior representative himself. But someone like Bill Remick and John Gallus, they can write the legislation and craft the legislation and push the legislation through for their real estate and their insurance pals.
Right.
So on that weekend, when they're not in the office or when they're in the office on the weekend, they don't have to worry about where their money's going to come from because they just made the law to make it legal for their people to do what they want to do.
And the thing about it is when you work for a real estate agent, especially when you're independently wealthy, whether you have investments or whether you're a real estate agent and you have real estate agents working underneath you, when John Gallus is sitting down there banging his hammer or whatever he's banging,
banging his gavel in the state senate,
when he's down there doing that, he's got his peons up here in Berlin making money selling his houses.
That's
his
right.
signs are out in the middle of the yard saying, hey, you buy this, John Gallus gets his piece. And so what the issue is for our intelligent listeners who are from the North Country and they're thinking, think about it.
Well, we have nothing but intelligent listeners out there except for those two right-wing
spies. There's a few nuts out there.
I know there's a couple of right-wing spies because we've been tracking.
That's why sometimes I have to break things down for those people. But for the other 90% or 8 listeners, I wanted to say that... So think about it. Look around your community and think about the people you know. How many people do you know in your community are retired, independently wealthy people
that are in government?
Well, not even government, but just how many people do you know who are retired and independently wealthy?
Oh, okay.
Okay, a very minute portion of the population. So we can have the biggest damn house.
And how representative do you think they are?
But what if it's filled with real estate agents?
Right.
What if it's filled with old white guys who have enough money they can go play around down in Concord 3 days a week?
And just to sum it up, every time you walk around the corner, you see a Gallus and Green sign up here in the North Country. This should kind of draw attention to whether or not the Gallus plan, the Gallus, Danderson, Peter Riviere economic development plan is working, because you can drive by a house any particular time and see the Gallus and Green sign on it. Then you'll see it sold 3 months later. 3 months later, you'll see that same sign back on that lot.
Right.
The house is selling again. So Gallus don't care how many times that piece of property turns over, because he's getting paid every time. So the nitwit that's in the house that can't afford to live there anymore, the poor bastard, he's saying, well, gee, Gallus sold me this house 3 months ago, so I'm going to give it back to him to sell again.
Right.
So, I mean, it should kind of make that light bulb go off in your head, even if it's a fluorescent energy-saving light bulb. Go off in your head saying, how many real estate signs from Gallus do I see up here? And this guy's a state senator, and we should really put two and two together here and see a failing sustainable economic development and conservation.
Well, in this little town of Lancaster here, I'm not exactly sure how large the population is, but I believe we have about 3,000 registered voters, or about that many come out to vote, maybe about 2,000 and some. And if you go down Main Street, you will see vacant places.
Right.
The nicest businesses are owned by a religious cult, which has slave labor. But you will see, not a lot of great economic things happening. But what you'll see is beautiful building owned by Aurora Hood, real estate agent.
Right.
You'll see right across the street, Peter Powell, real estate agent.
Another beautiful
building. You will see Sally Pratt is now on Main Street. You will walk down this little town of approximately 3,000 to 5,000 people, and we really have Dottie Scott. We have
Scott, yeah.
4 or 5 real estate agents who
within a mile, within a half a mile
on Main Street, who have about 3 or 4 or 5 people working underneath them.
Yeah.
Why is it that these and also, if you go into the state legislature, I mean, hey, if you want
to
buy a house in New Hampshire,
don't bother
to look it up in the phone book. Go to the state legislature and say you're looking for a house.
Yeah.
Half the guys will put down their legislation, walk out of the building, and try to sell you a place.
Put their hat on
our state? Do they care if children can grow up in this community, come through our public schools, get good-paying jobs, purchase a house, live there, live in this community until they die, and then leave the house to their children. No, what they want to see is people moving into the state, buying houses, finding they can't get work, or finding that they can only hold on to the houses until they retire, and then they have to sell and move right across the river to Vermont. They want those houses to be turned over as fast as possible.
Well, and these are the same. These are the same. These are the same folks that are that don't care about that view tax that they're putting on, because if they're forcing forcing the people out of those houses, that house is going to turn over that much quicker.
Right.
So if you can't afford anymore to live in your house, that's fine. Some rich guy from Connecticut or from New York will come in and buy your house.
They love,
no problem.
And you know what they love? One of the things that real estate agents just froth at the crotch about is the fact that
a frothy crotch. Well,
is the fact that
I'll never
sleep
again.
There's a dual purpose for New Hampshire being a tourist state, is because there are people right now working and owning or paying for homes in Massachusetts, and once they get to be retirement age, because my wife's parents did a similar thing. They once they get to be retirement age, they think, you know what? I'm going to sell my $1 million, my $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 home in Massachusetts. And now that I'm not working anymore, now that I'm retired, you know, I used to go up to New Hampshire every winter, and I loved it, and I used to ride snow machines, and I used to go hunting. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell my home down here.
Buy one up
there. I'm going to take a fourth or a third of that money. I'm going to purchase flat out a home in New Hampshire, and I'm going to live up here. So this is what our real estate agent suckling legislature is giving us. It's giving us a society where the kids that are born and raised in the North Country have to get the hell out of here to make a living, and that those people who are living in the North Country and being employed here, when they retire, they have to move away from their friends and their family just so they can afford a place to retire. And what's replacing those people? People from out of state who have been making more money and have a higher cost of living. This is becoming their little retirement cottage industry.
I mean, just to kind of get the connection from where federal legislation is to local issues, you're saying more people are moving up to this North Country, and they are. But you look where the jobs are going. We said before, it's a tourism service-driven economy here in New Hampshire.
Second home,
no doubt, economy. Second home economy. But as far as, you know, people say, oh, the NAFTA and the CAFTA and the FTAA isn't a local issue, but it is. Here in the North Country, the first 5 years, and I haven't had the updated report from 1999 to last year, but the first 5 years of NAFTA's inception, over 1,200 jobs, I think it's close to 1,300 jobs, were lost directly related to NAFTA. And these weren't tourism service related jobs. These were manufacturing jobs.
Good paying jobs with good benefits.
And up here, you say, well, $1,300 jobs isn't a lot really for New Hampshire with 1.2 million people. But the preponderance of those jobs were lost up here in the North Country. Bonneville, window, no longer making windows. 400 jobs right there. 400 jobs. Tillotson Glove in Colebrook, Dixville. Another 300 jobs there. And Ethan Allen, and there was two plants. So almost 800 jobs were lost directly related to NAFTA. And that was in the first 5 years of that NAFTA's
inception. That is in Coos County, that has a population of about 33,000.
33,000 people.
And now,
not to interrupt you, John, but rest your neck. But now you look at the service-related jobs coming up in here. You go from Bonneville window making $15-18 an hour with benefits to the people who are buying your house. You used to work at Bonneville Window. You're not making windows anymore. You can't afford to live in that town. Somebody coming up from downstate saying, hey, is that house $50,000? Nope, I'll give you $120,000 for it. That's what's happening in stock. Custom-made homes in stock for $300,000. I can't believe it.
Right. And the other issue about it is, too, that once upon a time, when a company wanted to lower their cost of production and lower their wages, instead of building a manufacturing plant in Portsmouth, they would build a manufacturing plant in Stratford.
Right.
Same thing I experienced in Kentucky. You know, IBM would put a printer factory in Lexington, Kentucky. That's a pretty big town, but you could get people from all around Lexington that would come and work there. So what you did is you did a sort of outsourcing situation where you got lower wages, but you did it by moving to rural states or rural parts of states. But what we've seen with this global economy that our Republicans and cowardly Democrats are ushering in is that they are leaving the country altogether and going to Bangladesh. Well, and I heard about one company that went to India, and the price was too expensive in India, so they moved to China. And then the price is getting too expensive in China, and they think about going to Bangladesh. And the issue of it is that when you lose those jobs, it hurts the state revenue, it hurts the whole thing. And one of the issues of our lack of representation, and one of the kind of smears, is that they say that the state legislature represents such a small group of people so that the people really have a voice. You don't have a voice. Yeah. When the people who are representing you don't listen to you. Bill Rimmick does not listen to the people of District 2. Bill Rimmick listens to his colleagues.
The real estate people in the Rotary. In the Rotary
Club. When I saw John Gallus, yes, he did hand me a pen that said vote for John Gallus, but he ignored me, turned over to Peter Powell, and basically started talking to him in some cryptic language about this bill that was going to affect real estate people and how that it was going to add a tax to this, and he was going to shoot it down, and he talked to and I was like... He didn't even wait for me to walk away.
Nice talking to you.
You know, like, I didn't want to talk to him, but it's like...
Thanks for the time of day.
Shouldn't you guys go into a smoky back room somewhere and talk about this? I mean, you're standing on Main Street.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel out what's happening to the Joe and Jane and Josephine and those people that are paying these things, that are doing... Not the person that's driving around like Aura. She's got a new SUV every year, and right. She's living in a swank place herself. Or Peter Powell, who's driving a brand new Hummer.
Right.
Or Scott McClellan that just gave a Hummer, but that's but you know I'm talking, you know, I'd like to talk to the people, to the
you
people.
Disgust me.
Yeah,
go on.
What'd you say? But these are the people, man. I just, it just blows me away that, you know, somebody asked me about Charlie Bass the other day. Matter of fact, Margaret, she says, what the hell am I supposed to do? What am I gonna do? I want people to get so friggin' pissed off that they finally get together, and you got to do a little more than vote. You got
to
do more than vote. That was tragically, these last two elections brought that to the forefront quite clearly. Damn it, quite clearly. And you got to do more than just vote, and got to do more than just say screw it.
That's right.
If folks like my wife, folks like my aunt, folks like regular people, the disengaged, disenfranchised, dissed people, get together and say, hey, screw this. You know, I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to say I got all the answers, but I'll be goddamned if I'm going to listen to three corporate assholes, one from the ATV.
Sometimes your wealth of ignorance astounds you.
Yes, I'm an ignorant bastard for sure, but I'm not going to listen to the ATV builder, two, the defense contractor, and three,
the
real estate insurance big oil people. I'm going to listen to that little peon that's working for those people.
Well, the thing about it is that. These guys are not interested in you. They're not interested in your children. They're not interested in a community where you can live your life here and work and then retire and enjoy your retirement. They're not looking towards a community where your children can grow up in this community and they can come back and buy a house down the street and they can have their children go to the school that they went to. What they want is a community, a rotating community, where every person that cycles through kicks in a little bit to... their Hummer payment kicks in a little bit to their, you know, whatever, you know. I'm not saying that any of these people use illegal drugs, but, you know, if they do, they would need to, you know, pay their coke dealer. We're going to blast on out of this segment. You got anything to add there, Will?
Well, I'd like to say Cassidy said corruption is okay, but he wanted lunch, so I think he was cutting me off.
He's just telling us what we wanted to hear.
He's just telling me what I wanted. What a politician he is, huh?
Well, I tell you. If he's okay with corruption, he might have a future with the Republican Party.
That's obvious, yeah.
I just wonder if there's going to be a Republican Party much longer.
It's imploding.
As opposed to the Democrats, who are just snoring.
Confused and delusional. Grace, hate,